I was working in Rome, I used to say Mass at a number of houses for women religious. And occasionally they'd ask me to hear their confessions. Now, before you freak out that I'm going to reveal what I heard in confession, the seal of confession prevents me from connecting a specific sin to a specific penitent. It's not broken when I speak generically about religious sisters and assorted sins. Now, some people might even be surprised that religious sisters go to confession, but St. Teresa of Calcutta and Pope St. John Paul II went every week. Maybe that explains the word saint in their names. But confessions from religious sisters is generally different than in a parish. They didn't confess explicit violations of the commandments, like taking the Lord's name in vain, or missing Mass, or stealing, or adultery. No, their sins were the small things: unkind words, uncharitable thoughts, or a lack of fervor in their prayers. Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said that hearing confessions of women religious sisters is like getting stoned to death with popcorn. But the point is that they took their spiritual and moral lives very seriously. They wanted their inner lives to be worthy of the religious habits they wore. And the key word in understanding that type of life is the word that Jesus uses in the gospel today. It's righteousness. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes or the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, this would have been a shocking thing for his disciples to hear, because the Pharisees and the scribes were regarded as the most righteous of people, scrupulously following the Ten Commandments and the 613 laws of the mitzvot. But Jesus could see into their hearts, and he can see into our hearts too. Let's reflect on this word righteousness through the readings today, but let's define it first. The Greek word that's used in both the Old Testament and the New is dikaios, and it connotes judicial approval, as in being judged justly. In the Old Testament, it's specifically connected to following the law. But in the New Testament, it gets more to the heart. Now, the first reading is from Sirach, a book written in the second century before Christ. The author, Sirach, was thoroughly engaged in love for wisdom, the law, the priesthood, the temple, and the divine worship. And in the early church, Sirach was used extensively in presenting moral teaching to catechumens and the faithful. So what does he tell us today? He said, "The Lord has set before you fire and water. Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given to him." Now here it's clear that free will is part of human responsibility. We are free to choose right or wrong, and we will be responsible for our choices. Think of that word, pro-choice. Well, some choices are wrong. We can choose patience, kindness, and forgiveness, or we can choose anger, hatred, and resentment. A big part of being righteous consists in the choices we make, choices that have consequences in this life and in the next. In the second reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we hear about the wisdom of God given to us through the Holy Spirit. "For the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God." Now think about this. We celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, which is 50 days after Easter. This corresponds to the Jewish feast of Shavuot, which is 50 days after Passover. Shavuot commemorates the reception of the Torah by Moses on Mount Sinai, 50 days after the Exodus. So while the Jewish people celebrate the reception of the written law, we celebrate the reception of the Holy Spirit, which comes upon us at our baptism and writes the law not on stone tablets, but upon our hearts. However, our sinful habits and our immersion in the world can cause us to choose the world over what is in our hearts. I remember years ago, a young boy of 10 or 12 asked me what abortion was. And I told him directly that some people thought it was okay to kill a baby while it was in its mother's womb. And this young boy, who had a younger sister and two younger brothers, was absolutely horrified. He had seen his mother's stomach grow and his siblings born, and he couldn't imagine how anybody could consider that killing them was okay. No, we're not called to follow the world, but the Holy Spirit, and to examine our consciences in light of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of the church's teachings, guided by the same Spirit. We make choices in our lives, but we are not alone. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. That's righteousness. And finally, what does Jesus say about righteousness in today's gospel? Now, we know the greatest commandment is to love God above all things and our neighbor as ourselves. Some might interpret this making the Ten Commandments easier. No. Jesus tells us today that the Ten Commandments need to be understood at a deeper level. The commandments on their surface seem only to cover external actions, but righteousness for Jesus involves our internal transformation. It's not just about what we say or do, but what's in our hearts. Hatred, lust, and dishonesty are sins of the heart, and from them come hateful conduct, lustful actions, and dishonest practices. In the Old Testament, righteousness was primarily defined by strictly following the commandments from a legal point of view. Following the teachings of Jesus, and especially in Paul's letters, righteousness goes deeper to integrity, virtue, purity of life, uprightness, correctness in thinking, feeling, and action. And we connect to this and seek the help of the Holy Spirit, especially through confession and the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where we seek to join our hearts to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. As I said in a homily a couple of weeks ago, and I'll say it again today, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine.